Hello, Carrie, and hello, everyone. Yeah, I usually try to get here for the majority of Pal Talk, but today was one of those days when I went to come into Pal Talk and the computer wasn't working. I had to reboot, so I missed most of Prayer Circle, but I usually try to get here for most of Prayer Circle. I still very much enjoy Prayer Circle, but I didn't make it today. But I did make it on time, which is nice, and we are here for The Guiding Light. And this is when I read directly from the Bible. I'm reading the book of John. And I just let the interpretation come live as it's going to come. Last week, we were reading a story from the Bible, which starts at John 15, verse 18, called The World Hates Disciples. And we were really looking at the difference between the ego thought system and the spirit thought system. And we were looking at the fact that when one speaks clearly from spirit without filtering what they're saying in order to be acceptable, just lets it come, that it can be and often is offensive to the ego. And this is what Jesus was telling his disciples. You know, this is, again, we're in the portion of the Bible now where this is his last discussion with the disciples. Judas has already left the table. He's already left to go and turn Jesus in to the Sanhedrin. Jesus is talking to the remaining 11, or possibly the remaining 11 plus Mary, but according to the Bible, the remaining 11. And he is having his final talk with them prior to his arrest and trial and beating and crucifixion. And so one of the things he was talking to them about is how if they speak the truth, the world is likely to hate them, and encouraging them to speak the truth anyway, encouraging them to allow the inspiration to come through because that's what's in their best interest. If they step away from the truth as it's coming through them in order to be more acceptable to the audience, the one that loses is them, the speaker. So that's what we were looking at last week. He says, in fact, let me read Jesus' words at the end of this little talk. He says, "I have told you this, so when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you." I think there was another part I wanted to read. I must not have seen it. It must be earlier in the talk. But, you know, when you're speaking the truth, speaking, letting inspiration just come through you, not speaking from your head, by the way, not speaking what you believe is true because you read it or you trust a certain teacher, but just letting the truth come through, inspiration, which is different. When you're speaking the truth and the inspiration is just coming through, if people do not seem pleased, what he wants you to do is to remember he said they would not be pleased. Don't let that shake you up. Don't let that knock you off of receiving and speaking inspiration. Continue to let the spontaneous inspiration flow. That's really what Jesus was sharing. So today we are going to begin. We're still in John chapter 16. And we're going to begin a little section called The Work of the Holy Spirit. And again, these titles are in the NIV Bible. And this starts with verse 5, John 16, verse 5. So, first I want to play a song. This song actually goes very well with what Jesus is about to share with the disciples once we start reading the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me just read the first couple of verses and you'll see what I mean. Jesus, still speaking to the disciples, says, "Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away." So, you know, he's talking to the disciples about how they're filled with grief. The next song that I'm going to play is by Peter McKenna, but it's really talking about Ramana Maharshi, when Ramana Maharshi's body was about to die of sarcoma, and how his devotees were filled with grief. And this song, which is called Forever Here, shares the words that Ramana Maharshi shared with his devotees under these similar circumstances. So this is Forever Here by Peter McKenna.
Why do you believe I am leaving?
beautiful song. I don't remember now how I came across it, but I'm glad that I did. All right, so I'm going to read this section of the Bible that in my Bible is called the Work of the Holy Spirit. It's at John chapter 16, verses 5 through 16. And this is still a part of that final discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, or more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. So that is the portion that we are looking at today. And it does appear that as Jesus is talking on this final night, it does appear that he senses that his physical end is near. You know, as we said, Judas has left the room, and he seems to know where Judas is going, and therefore he seems to know, at least generally, what is coming. And he also knows the way it is in his time. He knows that murder, execution, I don't know which word you want to use it, but he knows that it's a common form of punishment if you aren't playing the game. You're crucified, and I'm sure there were other forms of death as well, but he knows that if you aren't playing the game, this is what happens. So he probably really feels that this is coming, if he didn't in some way know. Just as Ramana Maharshi, in the song that we were just listening to, Ramana Maharshi knew that physical death was coming to him. What's interesting about these two men is that neither one of them are sad. Neither one of them are afraid. And both of them promise to still be here. In the Bible at John 16, chapter 5, Jesus says, Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? That's an interesting statement. He doesn't follow it up by telling them, here is where I'm going. He just says, none of you are even asking me, where am I going? And the way that feels to me is that he is pointing out to the disciples that they think they know. You know, whatever their belief system is at the path is at the time. You know, maybe some of the Jews did believe in like a heavenly type of afterlife. Some of the Jews believed in just death, and that's the end of life. And we don't know exactly what the disciples believed, or maybe there was a mixture between the two. Maybe they were from both groups of belief systems. But they're probably also sensing that physical death is coming. They can feel that happening. And nobody's asking him, where are you going? Because everybody already thinks they know. And this is, to me, a very important lesson, because it's a mistake that we all make, not only about death, but just about all kinds of things. It doesn't matter whether we're Southern Baptists, whether we're students of A Course in Miracles, whether we're students of Buddhism. One thing that we as humans tend to do is believe a spiritual thought system that we have no direct experience with. We believe a spiritual thought system, and then we think we know. In my 12 years on this spiritual path, I have seen many, many spiritual debates. You know, back in the olden days, they took place on the peace of God. And then they moved to Facebook. I don't see as many now because I don't hang out in all of those same types of places, but I'm sure they're probably still going on, even though they're outside of my perception. And what's interesting about any spiritual debate that you watch is that both sides think they're right. And neither side is realizing they're only talking from belief. Neither side is realizing they don't know. You see, we get our beliefs and knowledge confused. I remember once I asked Jan Fraser, it was probably during the Awakening Together Satsang, I interviewed her a couple of years back. But I remember I asked her about death. And her answer was, I don't even think about it. I love that answer. She didn't spit out some belief system about reincarnation, or some belief system about going into the light, or some belief system about something else. She just said, I don't even think about it. You know, and that's a perfect answer, because death isn't here now. And if she's here now, well, that's all that really matters. So when Jesus says to them, I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? That's like, you guys think you know. You think you know. Wake up. You think you know. I want to tell you something. It's still coming. No, we already passed it. We have already passed it. I want to tell you something that my friend Danielle shared with me a couple of days ago. I just thought it was fantastic. You all know the story in the Bible where Jesus tells Peter that before the cock crows in the morning, you are going to deny me three times. And Peter says, oh, no, not I. And you know, and Jesus says that he indeed will. Well, Danielle was telling me the only thing she remembers from Sunday school when she was a little kid is that one day the teacher said, what could Peter have done differently in that circumstance? When Jesus was saying, you know, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. What could Peter have done differently? And then the Sunday school teacher says, he could have listened very deeply to Jesus. And I just thought that was fantastic, because, of course, Peter did go ahead and deny Jesus three times, and that brought about some suffering for Peter. You know, some guilt came up, and Peter suffered. But what if instead of so quickly saying, no, not I would never do that, right? What if instead of so quickly going with that, he had listened to Jesus very, very carefully? Why would Jesus say, I'm going to deny him? What is Jesus seeing in me that I don't see? What if Peter had, instead of saying, no, no, not I, what if Peter had taken that into inquiry? It's possible that whatever was in him that led him to deny Jesus would have been exposed, would have been brought to the light, would have been put in awareness where he would have seen it, and as a result of seeing it, the script would have shifted and he would not have denied Jesus and therefore would not have suffered, right? I think that we miss many opportunities to listen deeply. And I think that this is one of the things this little question is about here in Jesus' final chat with the disciples. He is giving them a chance to realize that they believe so much that they're not even asking him questions. Right? They believe so much, they don't have a question. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? And then that's the end. Like I said, he doesn't tell them where he's going. He's just pointing it out. None of you are even asking me. Then he goes on to say, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. And this is just observing what's happening right in front of him. And again, we heard in the song with Ramana Maharshi that his devotees were also filled with grief because they believed that if the body was gone, he would be gone too. And the same thing is happening here. The disciples of Jesus, they believe if the body is gone, he will be gone too. They believe this is all coming to an end for them. He says, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now this to me is symbolic talk because we all always have the ability to turn within and receive and know, realize the same wisdom that Jesus shared. We don't need someone to die for us and go whisper in the Holy Spirit's ear and say, hey, you see those people down there? Why don't you go inside of them now? They could use your help. You know, we don't need that. So this to me is symbolic language. But even though it's symbolic language, again, I think it's pointing to something very important. I think that Jesus is saying, you're so dependent on me that you're not even going within. I teach the Minister Preparation Program, which I think you guys know. And I've been teaching two classes recently. One is Understanding Purification, which comes from Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. And the other class I've been teaching is The Teachings of Inner Ramana. And I have been very, very impressed with the participants in The Teachings of Inner Ramana because here they are reading a book that in effect was written by my hand. So they have me, you know, you could call it the expert in this case, right? Wouldn't the scribe be the expert of the book that she wrote? They have me, the expert, as the teacher. They have the book. And yet when they've had questions as they're reading the book and there are things they aren't quite sure about, some kind of a question arises, they have been going within. Yeah, they go inside. Exactly. And so they come to class And during their sharing, they'll say, I had this question, and so I asked, and this is the answer I got. And I'm like, oh my, I mean, like, bravo, like, I can't think of anything I would rather see more. So I don't have the problem of people becoming dependent on me, and I love that. I love that. But Jesus may have been in a different situation here. The disciples, when they had a question, they weren't going within. They weren't even attempting to go within. They just come to Jesus. And you know, when you go within and get an answer, something different happens than if you go to a teacher and ask the question or look it up in a book. You know, you can look things up in a book and get answers, but something different happens. When you ask the teacher a question or you look it up in a book, the answer, when it comes to you from an outside source, like a teacher or a book, it comes in through the mind. When you ask a question of the inner teacher, the answer comes through the heart. So when you hear, like if you were to ask me a question and I explain it to you with words and you listen to it with words, you may understand completely. You may understand partially and then imagine the rest. Imagine that you understand, oh, she must have meant this when actually it wasn't. Or maybe you even imagine completely. Or maybe you just don't understand. But you know, when it comes to the mind, from an outside source through the mind, there's a handicap attached. But when you ask within, and the answer comes within, even if there are words and you're writing the words on paper, there's just this full, unencumbered understanding, because you're more than just hearing your words. You're touched. You're touched by the knowledge. You're touched by the knowledge of the answer. So it is actually much more advantageous, although teachers are helpful to all of us for a time, and we all know that. Books are helpful to all of us for a time, and we all know that. But it is much more advantageous to get to the point where you are going within, you've learned how to make that connection with the inner wisdom, you are going within, you are seeking your own answers, you are receiving your own answers. This is what the mystic is. This is really where we all want to be. We all want to be that, I'm going to call it, self-competent. I'm going to type that in the room, though, so you can see it. Self-competent. Oh, no, I got a better word. Self-reliant. We want to be competent with self-reliance. That's the goal. Although I think I spelled competent wrong. But that's the goal. We want to become fully competent with self-reliance, which means we want to be able to go within regarding anything and always receive that certainty, that answer, that direction. That's the best situation. And so if a teacher sees that he or she has become a crutch for the student, a good teacher is happy to remove themselves as the crutch. And so Jesus is saying here, this is for your own good. You know, he's saying, you all have become too dependent on me. You aren't going within. And you really need to go within. You really need to become self-reliant. You need to become competent with that self. How else are you going to get to know yourself, that inner self that is truly you? How else are you going to get to know yourself as yourself if you're constantly asking me with this student-teacher relationship thing going on? So although these words are symbolic, I'm going to go and I'm going to send him back to you. You know, I'll tell the Holy Spirit to come to you. You know, I'll go there, whisper in his ear, say, hey, these are symbolic words. What he's really saying is when I'm gone, when I'm no longer here and you can't ask me questions anymore, you will go within. And that's when that's really beneficial for you. When you start having direct realizations from within yourself, that's when you're really getting somewhere. And Jesus says something similar to this in A Course in Miracles. He says something about how, I don't remember the exact quote, somebody else may and be able to type it, but he says something about how, you know, every good teacher wants to get to the point where he or she is no longer needed, right? A good teacher doesn't want anyone to become dependent on them. The good teacher wants to help them to the point that they can become self-reliant. Right? The good teacher isn't looking for followers. So, Jesus says, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then it continues. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So again, this says that when the counselor comes, or what A Course in Miracles and NTI would call the Holy Spirit, what I often call that inner intuition, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. Convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. Well, in this case, convict the world of guilt means your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be able to see things you do not see. In a court of law, when there's been some kind of a crime committed, what the lawyers do on both sides, on the prosecution and on the defense, is they go and they investigate every little detail, especially nowadays. Oh my goodness, every little detail. In order to, of course, present their case as thoroughly as possible. So if you're on the jury, you get to hear both the prosecution and the defense share every little detail that they uncovered. That means that when you are listening to a trial, your eyes, or at least this is the hope of the justice system, your eyes are opened to what actually occurred. You're not hearing a part of the story with part of the story hidden. The whole thing is being laid out for you. So what Jesus is saying here when he says, he's talking about the counselor, and he says when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. What he is saying is that he's going to lay everything out for you. And your eyes are going to be opened. You're no longer going to have a partial perception dependent on, you know, your individual way of seeing the world. The Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes and lay everything out before you so that you are going to be able to see clearly. And yeah, Teddy answered, thank you. I'm reading from the Bible, the book of John. So again, Jesus says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now let's look at each of these individually. He says, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. Now, don't forget, of course, that the word sin means mistake. We could even say, in this case, the word sin means ignorance. The word sin means ignorance or blindness, the inability to see the truth. Right? That's what sin is. It's the the current inability to see the truth. And so what Jesus is saying here is that in regard to sin, you know, he's going to show you in regard to sin. I got to read the whole sentence. Just reading that part doesn't work. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin because men do not believe in me. So what this means is he is going to reveal to you the ego thought system, and you are literally going to be able to see the ego thought system at work. And there's a big advantage to seeing the ego thought system at work in yourself and others. When you don't see the ego thought system at work, when you can't see, oh, that person is just believing their thoughts and then projecting it onto that scene. When you can't see that clearly, you believe a whole lot of drama and untruths, and you get caught up in it. If you can't see it, you believe it. But when you understand the ego thought system and you can see the ego thought system, when you can literally see someone speaking through their thought system and then projecting it onto something else or some scene, you no longer think, oh, you're right, he's guilty. You know, like, let's say they're talking about someone else. You know, John Smith over there did this and he's a loser and blah, blah, blah. You no longer join in and think, oh, that's right, John Smith is an ass, right? You don't do that anymore. You just see them exposing to you their belief system. And you don't judge them either, but you can see. It's amazing how clearly you can see other people's thought system when the ego thought system is fully revealed to you. And again, when you can see their thought system, you don't believe it. You don't fall into it. You don't get caught up in it. So Jesus is telling the disciples that when they begin to hear the Holy Spirit, realize wisdom from within, the ego thought system is going to be exposed for them, and they will be able to see the ego thought system at work in the world, which means they will not fall into the trap of the ego. So that's what he means when he says in regard to sin. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to enlighten you about, the mistakes. The Holy Spirit will enlighten you about the common mistakes that are occurring over and over again in the world. You'll be able to see those common mistakes. They will become neutral to you, and you will no longer get caught up in them. All right, so let's look at the next one. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Now remember, he started this entire little chat with, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? You know, he's pointing out, you think you know what death is. You know, whatever your personal beliefs are, you think you know. Well, now he's telling them, the Holy Spirit will teach you that. The Holy Spirit will teach you what truth is. The Holy Spirit will teach you what life is, what eternal life is, what we could say enlightenment is, what awakening is. You know, right now you don't know. Right now you're caught up in whatever your little Jewish thought system is. And again, there was more than one Jewish religious belief system, so they could have been from different Jewish belief systems. But right now you just believe whatever Jewish belief system you were raised in, and you really have no idea what truth is. And in fact, you're even hearing my words through your belief system, and you think I'm saying what you already believe, at least in some cases. And where my words don't match with your belief system, you're like totally confused about what I'm saying. You don't understand me at all. But when you start listening within, and you start letting that withinness explain it to you, your eyes are going to be opened to truth. You're going to know what I can't tell you now. Even if I try to put it into words, the truth, they're just going to be words, and your mind will interpret it. I can't actually tell you, but the withinness can tell you. So the withinness is going to open your eyes to the mistakes of the ego thought system so you no longer fall for those traps. And the withinness is going to open your eyes to the truth so that you know who you are, what is real. And then he says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This is referring to, it's very similar to the Course's teaching of the last judgment or the final judgment. Also, NTI addresses this, the last judgment or the final judgment. You know, people who have a more traditional understanding of the Bible think that the last judgment belongs to a God that is outside of us, who is going to judge us. In reality, the last judgment belongs to us. The last judgment is that moment when we're faced with this opportunity to choose truth and completely let go of everything false. It's really the judgment of, that's false, this is real, I want the real. That's the last judgment. And what's really beautiful about this is Jesus says in this particular reading, the prince of this world now stands condemned. The prince of the world, of course, being the ego thought system. So he really is saying, the last judgment is going to occur and you are going to choose the truth. The ego thought system is condemned. The ego thought system is on its way out. This inner wisdom, this inner intuition, this counselor, this Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes so much to both. You need to be able to see the ego thought system clearly and you need to be able to see the truth clearly so that you can choose between them. And you will make the choice for truth. So the prince of this world stands condemned. Yeah, Lisa's saying beautiful stuff, and I agree. I agree. And I don't know who Ham Moody is, but when I'm sharing, I only turn the mic over to people that I know are truly interested in what I'm sharing and have a question directly related. So, yeah, I won't be turning the mic over because I'm on a roll here. So again, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. You'll see the ego thought system clearly. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Your eyes will be opened to truth. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned, you will then choose between those two, and you will choose the truth. When you see both clearly, you know, the only reason we choose the ego is because we don't see both clearly. That's the answer. Every time we choose the ego, that's why it's called ignorance, right? It's ignorance. Every time we choose the ego, it's because we don't see the ego clearly and we don't see the truth clearly. That's why we choose the ego. When we see the ego clearly, and we see the truth clearly, we choose the truth. All right, let's go on and read the next thing that Jesus says. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So, again, Jesus is telling them that if I tell you these things, he's saying you can't bear it. It reminds me of that movie, right? You can't bear the truth. No, is it you can't stand the truth? What's the line? Somebody know the line? But the way it's coming to me now is you can't bear the truth, because Jesus used the word bear, right? You can't take it. And that's what he's telling the disciples. He's saying, if I was to, you can't handle the truth. That's the line. You can't handle the truth. Jack Nicholson. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples right now. You can't handle the truth. Like, even if I told you now, if I took this little bit of time I have left with you to tell you the truth as I know it, you couldn't handle it. But then, he doesn't say it's because you're all a bunch of nimwits. Because he says in the next line, but when this inner teacher comes, and he tells you, you'll realize everything. In other words, we're back to where we started in this talk, in that if I tell you, it's going to go through the mind. And in some way, it's going to be distorted, misunderstood, imagination gets added to it, you know, you hear it through what you already believe, you take that which agrees with your believing and you keep it, and you take that which doesn't agree with your believing and you throw it out. I mean, the mind does all of this so quickly, the brain does all of this so quickly, you don't even see it happening. You don't even know that you distorted what I said. But that handicap of the mind is not there when you hear from the inner teacher. So when the inner teacher begins speaking and you begin listening to the inner teacher, you will have the clarity. In fact, listen to these two sentences. Again, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Right? If I was to say it, you couldn't handle it. But then he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So he's not saying you're not worthy of the truth. He's not saying you're too dumb for the truth. He's just saying the better transmission of the truth, the one that you will be able to fully understand, is the one from within yourself. I can't give this to you. This has to come from within. That's what he's saying. I can't give this to you. This has to come from within. But you are worthy, right? You will see. In fact, when the Spirit of truth comes to you, he will guide you into all truth. Hear the completion in that? He will guide you into all truth. And you know, what's being said here is true of every single one of us. You know, the Awakening Together. Many people don't know the history of Awakening Together. And in fact, there might be a reason coming up soon for me to kind of go over the history again and go over how we're governed again, because unfortunately I'm still hearing rumors. And I realize people don't really know. I mean, even though they're members of Awakening Together, they don't really know what they've joined. And so I think that in the near future I'll just have a special member meeting where I kind of reshare with you guys what Awakening Together really is and how we're governed and where we came from and all of that. Give you that whole picture again, right? Lay out all the evidence in front of you. But Awakening Together comes out of Foundation for the Holy Spirit. Foundation for the Holy Spirit came first. And in fact, Foundation for the Holy Spirit is still our most legal name. We have a doing business as name, which is also legal, of Awakening Together. But Foundation for the Holy Spirit is our most legal name. And Foundation for the Holy Spirit was founded with a mission. And so the mission of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit also applies to Awakening Together. It's the umbrella purpose. And the mission of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is to help everyone become self-reliant with their own inner guide. That's the reason we're here. To help everyone become self-reliant with their own inner guide. That is the mission of Foundation for Holy Spirit, and therefore the mission of Awakening Together. And I hear Jesus talking about how important that is, that we all become self-reliant with our own inner guide. We're not here to listen to one, you know, we are, as you know, an official church now. And you probably also know that most churches have one person at the pulpit who interprets the Bible or whatever their scripture is and tells people what it means, and everybody else listens and believes. That's not what we're about. We're about every single one of us becoming self-reliant with our own inner wisdom. So we're set up in that way completely different from the traditional church. And what I hear Jesus saying here is that's important, because that's how you will be guided into all truth, is through your inner guidance, your inner wisdom, your inner teacher. And then again, he's speaking to people who don't really know what this inner wisdom is, right? And so he is saying, you know, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. What he's really saying in his own words is, this is universal knowledge that you're going to receive. And in fact, those of us who do study many spiritualities that point to truth instead of like one particular spirituality that points to truth, what we see is across different cultures, across different times, and across different religions, anyone who goes within finds the same wisdom. You know, the wisdom of the Hindu master is not different than the wisdom of the Christian mystic. They're the same. Even though they may never have read each other's books, never have heard of each other, the Christian mystic was contemplating the Bible, and, you know, the Hindu master was meditating and reading, the Upanishads and those kinds of things. And yet, because they went within, they came to the same wisdom. There's only one universal wisdom. And that's what Jesus is saying here. When you go within, what you hear is going to be universal wisdom. So, he will not speak on his own. This is not going to be individual wisdom that you're receiving. Your belief system is individual, right? If you were raised with the Jews who believe in an afterlife and believe in a resurrection, that's what you believe. But if you were raised with the Jews who believe that when you're dead and that's the end of it, that's what you believe. You see, belief systems are individual. But this knowledge that you will get from within is universal. Not only is it going to be true for every Jewish mystic who goes within, regardless of which household they came from, but it's also going to be true for, in Jesus' time, the religions yet to come, the Muslims that go within, the Christians that go within, and the religions of the past, the Buddhists that go within, right? The Taoists that go within. Not the ones who don't go within, right? Not the ones who only learn this stuff from without. Only learn from the book, only learn from the preacher, only learn from the master. There's going to be a lot of differences there. Always going to be differences between religions there. Always going to be differences between sects there. S-E-C-T-S, sects, right? Always going to be differences when the learning is an outside learning. But regardless of what religion, regardless of what culture, regardless of what sect, regardless of what time, when you go within, they all come to the same universal wisdom, because there's only one. So he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Jesus is definitely not putting himself above anyone here. Even though he knows in this moment in time, he understands truth and the people he's talking to don't, right? He's not putting himself above anyone here. He is saying, when you go within, you are going to find everything that I found. He sees himself as completely equal, completely the same. And the truth is, anyone who has gone within and found this wisdom is incapable of seeing any other way. Right? We all know, if we've learned from within, that when others go within, they will learn the same thing. We know that for a fact. We know there's no differences between us. So even though in time there's a difference, like in this moment of time, Jesus knows more than they know, that does not mean there's a difference. It just means they haven't gone within yet. And this is where he's pointing. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. So now we're back to the all truth, right? He will guide you to all truth. I have found all truth, and he will guide you to all truth. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Again, all truth will be revealed. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Now, this could point to the physical resurrection. But to be honest, right now, the interpretation that I'm hearing in the mind isn't pointing that way. Probably because, you know, physical resurrections don't happen that often, you know. But what does happen often is going within and finding that wisdom. You know, we started this by hearing that song from Ramana Maharshi, or about Ramana Maharshi. When Ramana Maharshi died, they asked him, you know, where would I go? You know, he's indicating I will always be here. There's nowhere else for me to go, right? Well, Ramana Maharshi did not have a physical resurrection. But I can stand here as a witness that the wisdom of Ramana Maharshi still lives, and every one of us can receive it if that's what we're destined to do. I mean, look at the teachings of Inner Ramana. That came through this person right here, this average girl from Kansas. And I have met many other people who have felt or heard or known Ramana Maharshi from within. So just like Jesus touches many, Ramana Maharshi touches many, and there are many other masters touching many. That's because there is not death for the enlightened mind. Because there is not death in truth, right? The false self dies, so anything a false mind may have learned can be lost, but the enlightened mind that awakens to the one universal knowledge is always present and always sharing. So when Jesus says that he is going to go away and not be seen, he said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Again, he's pointing them to go within. Right now you think all of this knowledge about truth is outside of you, but when I'm gone, if you follow my instructions and go within, you're going to find that same knowledge, that same truth. It's right there. You will see it. And then you'll really feel one with me, right? When your knowledge and my knowledge are identical, we no longer have a sense of separation. We have a sense of separation because you see things one way and I see things another way. But when that is gone, because you've gone within and we are both seen with universal knowledge, the sense of separation is dead. So you will see me again. And with that, I am done. So thank you very much for hanging around with me, y'all. And I let go of the mic.